Revia shouted insults at him, but he shut the door behind him. A few moments later, Kiana opened it and slipped outside as well. Nathan let her join him and Seraph as they walked to the nearby common room in silence. Sighing, Nathan flopped onto one of the recliners. Seraph pulled up a chair next to him, while Kiana made tea for all of them. Coffee was rarely drunk within the spires, so he made do with their many varieties of flavorsome milk tea. He cast wards around them.
"You know how to deal with her," Seraph said while Kiana was away.
"I don't like her," Nathan said.
"No, I think you do. You just dislike the way she pushes your buttons. If Kiana hadn't interrupted, you would have given her what she wants," Seraph replied.
"Maybe," he sighed. "I'm usually good at backing off. I thought I was used to this game, but now I realize she probably held back in my world."
"How did you even end up with a bitch like her? You sounded too weak and inexperienced for her tastes. No offense."
He laughed. "I say that about my younger self all the time, so none taken." Kiana returned with the tea before he began his explanation. Her blonde horsehair sat flat against her head the entire time, and she said nothing. Nathan wanted to apologize, but he knew there would be a better time after he finished with Nerevia. After the Empire fell, Nerevia ended up in a bad state. Tarban and most of his champions died pointlessly. Trefome, Falmir, and the Federation carved up the Empire. She couldn't go back to the Spires, and she lacked a bastion. For whatever reason, she ended up fighting Trefome instead of joining them, he explained.
"Was that normal?" Seraph asked.
"Both Yphela and Narime joined Trefome after their nations fell, Yphela after the Empire, and Narime after the Federation." He ran a hand through his hair at the memories of the time when neither were by his side.
"Wait, you didn't mention that before," Seraph said, leaning backward in surprise. "Nathan, who were your champions for most of your life?"
He winced. "Whoops. I came from Falmir. Naturally, I had a brand new champion. Her name was Vala. Feisty woman with red garnets," he said, not meeting their eyes. "Because Faye was on the front line, she joined Trefome. While I knew her pretty well, she only joined me after she became a Trigem champion. Narime, she became my champion briefly, but took it hard when we failed to save the Federation. We joined back up pretty fast, though." Kiana coughed, then shrunk in on herself when they looked at her.
What about me?"
Nathan smiled at her. "You joined me very early. Both you and Sen have been with me since my early days." Then he looked away as he remembered what happened at the end.
"Nathan,
the horse girl began to ask.
Seraph interrupted. "And Nerevia? She joined you sometime before the Federation fell?"
"Yes. She actually liked the fact I was young and naive. For years, she enjoyed taking the lead in bed." He shrugged. "As I got older, her tastes returned to what Tarban taught her. She knew how to push my buttons and make me use her."
"Ah, this time, you're already the experienced bastion, and she wants you to give her the full course right from the start."
Seraph shook her head.
"Like I said, you know how to deal with her. She won't talk normally."
He clicked his tongue. "I won't play her stupid game. But..." Both women stared at him. Without saying another word, he stood up and returned to his bedroom. He shooed everybody out, except for Nerevia. Then he untied her legs, but left her arms done up. He sat down on the bed, legs spread.
"What? Do you want me to crawl around for you?" Nerevia laughed.
She wiggled her ass against the tiled floor. Her vest and hot pants left little to the imagination, given they barely covered her crotch and breasts to begin with. Nathan undid his pants, and his dick flopped out. Faye's earlier attention meant it was a decent size, but he was a long way from an erection.
"Well, this is what you want, isn't it?" he said,
with no emotion in his voice.
"You keep talking as though you know me," Nerevia growled, although her fingers twitched and her eyes remained fixed on his flaccid member. "You don't."
"I do. You want me to do things to you that I don't want to do. Instead, I'm going to offer you a deal. It's the best deal you'll get, as I don't think you actually want to sit in an urn in Astra's room," Nathan said. Nerevia shuddered at the implied threat. When Nathan didn't say anything more, she said,
"Fine. What is it?"
"I'll give you the cock that you've been after ever since you came to Garrick Pass. Then you'll tell me what I want to hear," he said. Seconds passed.
"When do you tell me what I get in return?" she asked, raising an eyebrow.
"I just did. The only thing you want is to be fed a meal while my dick is down your throat." She glared at him, but swallowed noisily despite that.
"What if I say no?"
"You want me, little Nathan.
Admit it. You won't walk away without tasting me."
In response, he stood up, walked over, and undid the cord around her arms. Then he sat back down. She stared at him in shock, arms still held behind her, even though they weren't tied up. "Go on, leave," he said, glaring down at her. "I have other champions. I don't need you. You're useless to me, other than the information you have. I can just talk to Astra and go around you. Why would I care about a duo gem champion who serves my asshole of a father when I can have her?"
"Fuck you," Nerevia spat. She glowered at him.
Leaning back, Nathan placed a hand around his cock and slapped his thigh. Nerevia crawled forward on her knees. The dark skin of her face contrasted heavily with his cock. Her hot breath hardened him, but he was nowhere near fully erect. The moment before her tongue touched his tip, he stopped her. His hands gripped her cheeks, holding her in place.
"So, you do want this?" he asked her.
"Fuck yes," she gasped out, her eyes widening as she stared at his growing cock. He let her go. She wrapped her mouth around his tip and began to suckle, lick, and play with his length. Her hands pulled down her vest and hot pants. Her huge tits bounced out, revealing hard purple nipples that glistened with sweat. Her pussy lips were a similar color and noticeably enlarged as she fingered herself. Nathan's length grew in her mouth as she bobbed up and down. Her scent wafted through his nostrils. She was horny as hell, and all he smelled was lust. Eventually, he began to reach his full size. Then he kept growing. Nerevia massaged his balls with one hand as she slurped along the length of his shaft, her lavender hair draped over his crotch. Then she popped off him with wide eyes and stared at him. She moaned,
"You're ruining me. How can I go back to anything else after slurping down your cock?"
He ran a hand through her hair and pressed her against his length. "I told you that this is all you wanted."
"Fuck,"
she breathed out while blowing a kiss against his glands. He grew another inch, and she giggled.
"Time to dig in."
She noisily slurped down his prick, then slid down the whole length. Thick strands of saliva ran along it, and bubbles blew through her nose as she tried repeatedly to reach his crotch with her lips. After a while, he simply rammed her head down. She gurgled while staring up at him with glazed-over eyes. The lewd noises of her fingers filled the room as she desperately brought herself to climax. Juices coated the tiles of the room. Nerevia appeared content to simply sit there, her throat speared on his cock. Her moans rumbled around his length. Her long, pointy ears drooped, although they flicked upward every time Nathan moved even slightly. Realizing he needed to take charge, Nathan grabbed the sides of her head. Her eyes widened the moment before he used her the way she wanted to be used. He rammed her entire head along his length as fast as he could. Her throat coiled around his cock. Her tits bounced around with each movement. Then he pulled her against him and emptied his balls right into her stomach. After he pulled out of her, he slapped his length against her face and allowed his hot seed to drool down her cheeks and chin. Her tongue lapped up what it could. "So, are you done?" Nathan asked, raising an eyebrow. His voice remained cold.
"How does your cock not shrivel up when you're that cold?" Nerevia whined. "I can feel your raging heat against my face and in my stomach. Did all your fire end up in your balls?"
Evidently, he wasn't done yet. Nathan picked Nerevia up. She squealed and flailed about. Luckily, she didn't try to use her gems. That would have been awkward. He threw her on the bed, ass up. She wiggled into a better position on all fours, then grinned at him.
"Oh, so you do want me?" she cooed.
He pressed his length against her. Her purple lips puffed open, and juices poured out. She moaned in response, then moaned again, sweeter this time, when he rubbed his tip up and down along her entrance.
"You're slick enough that I won't even need lube for your ass," he said. "Don't you fucking dare," she growled.
He tilted his head.
"Not an ass girl?" "Leave that crap to Astra. Her toys are fucking terrifying."
"What?" Nathan stared at Nerevia. Her face lit up as she realized she had told him about Astra's personal preferences.
"Let's pretend you didn't say that, for both our sakes," Nathan said.
"Deal," Nerevia said, then grinned.
"So, fuck me. Fill me."
Nathan didn't move. When she tried to buck against him, he made sure he didn't enter her. Instead, he continued to tease her as her pussy drooled all over him.
"No. You're going to tell me what you're doing here. Then I'll consider whether you're worth it."
Nathan glared at her. She whined. Nathan didn't relent.
"You asshole," she snapped out. "You're such a fucking bitch. You know that? You should—"
He reached over and placed a hand on her head. Then he pushed her face into the bed, muffling her voice as she shouted at him. He continued to rub against her, even as she coated his entire crotch and the bedsheets with a puddle of her juices. When he let go, her face was a picture of need.
"Nathan," she cried, "please,
tell me." She stared at him.
"What happens to me after this?" she asked quietly.
"That's your choice," he said. "You seem to know what you want. Or do you?" She pouted at him. Then she opened up, just like her body was. She explained why Tarbin had sent her here, what she was trying to get the council to do, and what his father's long-term plans were. Details were left out, such as who she met with, and he doubted she told him everything about Tarbin, but he didn't push. Nerevia was on the verge of becoming his. He knew that, even if he didn't necessarily like it. Pushing her too far might backfire. After all, he didn't want her to think that betrayal was an easy thing, even if Tarbin was a monster.
"Well, do I get my prize now?" Nerevia asked.
"It's not your prize, it's your punishment," he said. "You just betrayed your bastion." She stared at him, then grinned.
"Oh, so punish me. Reshape me with that thick rod of yours. I bet you don't need to worry about your champions looking at other men with a beast like that."
He pressed her head into the bed again. She giggled this time. Then he hilted himself inside her. The slap of his thighs against her fleshy, dark ass echoed through the room. Her insides clung to him greedily. A gasp rang out from Nerevia as she threw her head back. Then he started thrusting rapidly into her, driving her into the bed.
"Fuck, this is it. This is what I wanted," she moaned out.
Nathan didn't want to keep this going for too long, so he sped up. Nerevia practically screamed in ecstasy. He pressed her so deeply into the bed that she nearly became one with it. He reached his climax and let out a grunt. Thick ropes of his seed filled her, and the slapping of their flesh turned wet and sticky within seconds. When he slid out of her with a wet pop, white gobs dripped onto the bed. Nerevia moaned incoherently, ass still sticking up.
"Isn't this what you wanted?" he asked her as he got off the bed.
"This is way better," Nerevia gasped out.
A long pause.
"Call me a bitch, please."
"No, you're not useful to me that way. I'm not playing your stupid game," he said coldly.
She shuddered.
"Yeah, like that. Fuck. It's different, but I love it."
Shaking his head, Nathan got up and opened the door. Faye and Kiana fell inside the room. Both of their faces were cherry red, and he knew what they had been doing from the smell. Neither Seraph nor Nadime were outside.
Nathan, this is...
"I'm taking a shower," he said. "Tell Seraph that Tarbin is trying to interfere with the Federation. He wants the Dark Elves to pull out of the Haukim Desert."
After those words, he stepped into the bathroom. Nerevia watched him with glazed eyes, her fingers scooping up his seed from her own body and the bed. He ignored her. Once inside, he closed the door and ran a hot shower. Blazing hot. Some people liked bitingly cold showers to cool down or forget something. He liked hot. The searing hot water couldn't burn his skin. As a bastion, he wasn't entirely human anymore, but it remained hot enough to pummel him and make him feel it. The things he had wanted to do with Nerevia, he hated those feelings. Bastions were shaped by their champions. A lot of his behaviors had been shaped by those he had spent the most time with. But he needed to remain in control these days. That meant making the right decision, not the one that resonated emotionally. Hurting Nerevia because she was an enemy would bring relief, but it was unnecessary. He had made some very judicious decisions when he had first come to this world, namely, when he had overwritten Sen and Sunstorm with their personalities from his world. He still didn't know if he made the right choice, but he made his own decisions now. He didn't let others goad him into them. After a long time, he turned off the water and stepped out. Kiana stood there, holding a fluffy black towel. New clothes for him sat in the corner, neatly folded. She was fully clothed, but her eyes immediately shot to his crotch. Then she pouted and looked away.
"It gets smaller when I'm not having sex," he said dryly.
She jumped, her tail nearly doing a 360-degree spin.
"That's not..."
She shrunk in on herself.
"It's fine to talk about sexual things. You've seen what Faye and the others are like. But it's your choice, Kiana. Who and what you do. Don't let Faye pressure you into anything."
"I won't either," he said. He stepped forward to take the towel, but Kiana refused to let him do so.
"I'll dry you off," she said.
"You're my champion, not my servant," he protested.
She glared at him. For a moment, the look on her face took him back to his past. In his original world, Kiana had always been the one to sneak freshly pressed uniforms into his bathroom while he showered. Anytime she had the night or morning with him, she had always joined him in a bath.
"Fine," he said, "but don't make it a habit.
Didn't you just say I can make my choices? She said cheekily.
She stepped forward and dried him off. As expected from a young, horny woman, she got a little handsy at times. He didn't bring it up. After all, he definitely appreciated the attention. He hadn't been this close to Kiana so far. Her shyness had always kept her away from him.
Nathan, I'm sorry, she said suddenly, while drying off his back.
He paused, trying to work out why. She continued before he could.
I haven't been much help. This is all so much.
No, it's my fault. This is a bit much when you're new. I shouldn't have brought you.
No, she squeaked, then froze.
You realized I didn't want to be left alone. I'm so glad to be your champion, Nathan, even though I haven't done anything to deserve it.
I just don't know how to help you. I never knew how to help Leopold.
She sniffed. He turned around and ruffled her hair. You help me by being with me, Kiana. Remember that. Focus on that. I accepted you as my champion.
Really?
Yes, he said. She finished drying him off, and they joined the others. But Nathan worried about her, probably as much as she worried about him. For now, he had a bigger problem to deal with. Seraph, we need to find a way to deal with Tarbin's nonsense, Nathan said. I'll start with Astra, but we need to find a way to influence the Council. Chapter 20 Astra had asked him to come at night. Nerevia's meddling was dangerous, but Nathan knew how slowly the Council of Aurelia moved. Whatever chaos she had set in motion would take weeks or even months to play out. Not even the end of the world had forced their hand. He could afford to wait.
You say that, but didn't they react quickly to the cascade?
Narime asked, after Nathan explained the reason for his patience. That's because their authority was threatened. He frowned. I also suspect something else was happening. It felt planned. They sat in the common room. The storm had passed, but the weather remained overcast. The lighting was dull and dreary. Nerevia had cleaned up and sulked on a sofa. Her gaze was planted firmly on Nathan's crotch. He wondered if she was sulking over being detained, or because he wasn't railing her into the bed. Hard to say.
Tonius is the one on trial, but you suspect he was set up, Seraph said slowly, by Falmir.
The lazing dark elf raised an eyebrow at Nathan.
Oh, that's quite the assumption. Did you come up with that yourself, little Nathan? You're still calling him little after what he did to you?
Narime remarked.
He's little, even if his cock isn't.
Nerevia smirked. He rubbed the bridge of his nose. Falmir's activities aren't as subtle as they think they are.
Uh-huh. What's your proof?
The dark elf stared at him, a triumphant expression on her face. You already know about what happened beneath Garrick Pass when the messenger attacked, Nathan said. If Tonius isn't responsible for the cascade, and it's reasonable to assume he isn't, given his armies weren't prepared for it, then it had to be someone with connections to the Council. That leaves us with kings and emperors. Nerevia clicked her tongue.
Maybe his armies weren't ready because he wanted plausible deniability.
Sure, and maybe a duo gem champion from Falmir tried to kill Anna when she arrived in a Leik because Tonius had a wireless hidden up his ass, Nathan said. The dark elf's face paled, and she licked her lips.
How do you know that?
Because I do. Her bastion is one Gareth Pike, he said. Nerevia's eyes widened. Nathan's eyes narrowed in response.
Why do you know that name?
Ah, she looked to one side.
Look, I already told you what I can.
I'm not your champion.
She paused and looked at him side on.
I could be.
Not now. Nathan shook his head. The risk of transferring you to my control so far away from a binding stone is immense. I can do it, but I'm not about to risk turning you into a mindless husk in the middle of the spires. That's a great way to get pancaked by Astra.
Right, Nerevia said. Goddess, and here I thought your balls were the size of mountains. I guess you do have a limit.
More to the point, the Council isn't about to act rashly, he said. Nerevia can't even leave this floor. Her influence is limited.
She has more than us, Nadime growled.
That's why I'll talk to Astra tonight. He stood up. First, I need to acquire some alcohol. I doubt the guards will stop me if I go to their shops, especially if one of you is with me. Nadime joined him, and they entered one of the elevators. It worked using a ratcheted lever to control your destination floor. Nathan pushed it up, remembering the floor from memory. The fox whistled, her tails rubbing his back.
Your memory remains excellent, she purred.
Gareth showed me this floor, he said. He always knew his way around the seedier side of the world. Most of the shops won't sell to us, but there's a black market luxury vendor who will trade in currency from other nations for the right price.
Gareth, you knew him? Nadime asked.
He was my mentor of sorts, an older bastion with extensive knowledge of the theory of magic. A lot of what I know is because of him.
Nathan sighed.
It feels fraudulent to pass off so much of what he learned and taught me as my own.
He was your friend, wasn't he?
I would call him my best friend. Nathan's jaw tightened at the memory of how that friendship had ended, of the tragedy that had been the fall of Trefome, and what had awaited him when he returned to Falmir. Nadime dropped the topic, and they rode the elevator in silence. When they reached their destination, Nathan stared in surprise at the dozen armed guards waiting for them. Heavily armored soldiers raised their weapons the moment the door opened. The dark elves quivered in fear and remained stationary. Nathan stepped forward, raising a hand to calm them.
"Return to your floor, human," one of the dark elves shouted. "You have no place here. I just need to—" "Ambassador Sareev will summon you when the Council has time for you. Leave!"
The soldier's weapon rattled against his armor as he yelled. Nadime scowled and stepped forward. Every soldier stepped backward. Nathan spotted one in the back gesture to someone in the distance.
"Not good."
"Nadime," he said. "No."
"But—"
Nathan pulled her back into the elevator without another word. The dark elves didn't lower their weapons, even as the cage door closed in front of them. Nathan pulled the lever and ascended to Astra's floor. Same story there. He didn't bother trying to step out. The guards didn't yell at him, but they appeared to be just as terrified. Nathan tried a few other stories. He couldn't reach the highest stories without a special key that unlocked the full motion of the lever.
"Can't you break into it?"
Nadime suggested. "It's not a mechanical lock. It needs a specific magical signature encoded into the key." "I can't crack that," he explained.
"You cracked the binding stones?"
"No, I knew those in advance. I know the encryption codes to binding stones for the Empire, the Federation, Trefome, and Falmir," Nathan explained. "I never learned the Spires or Arcadia because, well, they never had binding stones to claim." They returned to their floor. Once there, Nathan searched for the dark elf servants and found that they had left. The stairs remained unlocked, but they were next to the elevators. Nathan didn't want to go up dozens of flights of stairs just to encounter the same guards. After questioning the human and beastkin servants and discovering nothing, Nathan returned to the common room.
"I take it that's not normal," Seraph said. "Of course it's fucking not," Nerevia snapped,
now sitting up straight.
What happened to those balls you rubbed over my face earlier? Did they shrink because you emptied them into me? Use your head for 5 seconds instead of your...
Nathan paused, unsure of how to finish the insult. He usually said this to men.
Pussy, Narime said flatly. She's thinking with her pussy, because apparently her brain melted at the sight of your cock.
Enough, he snapped.
She's a bitch. I'm allowed to call her out on it, Narime said.
It's not as fun when you call me that, compared to Nathan,
Nerevi replied.
Then shut up.
The fox's eyes glowed.
Enough, Nathan roared.
The women stopped their catfight. Nathan sighed.
Look, whatever is happening, we need to be careful, Nathan said. It's easy to get excited.
You can't say that again. Your ambassador is missing, right? That smells fishy, Nerevia said.
Exactly my point. I was invited to the spires, allowed to bring as many champions as I liked, given no schedule, and now I'm antagonized by guards whenever I try to go somewhere.
Nathan raised an eyebrow.
The natural response is to assume that this is a trap, or that a coup has happened, especially now that I know you're up to something for Tarbin.
So we beat some guards up, talk to Sarive, and find out the truth, Faye chirped, shooting to her feet with a very generous bounce of her chest.
Ah, yes, the cause a huge international incident plan. I'm sure that will help the alliance between the Empire and the Spires, Seraph said dryly.
The others froze, then looked at her.
Narime scowled. I hate to admit it, but she's right. Nathan already realized it. This is why the guards are antagonizing us. If we attack them, then we look like criminals. We're guests here. If visiting champions assault weak guards, Tarbin's allies will have the political ammunition to cut off support for the Hokim Desert.
Ha. Huh. So that was their plan. I'd wondered why they kept delaying,
Nerevia said.
I didn't think your guy was in on it, though.
He might not be, but he's only an ambassador. Opposing any of the political factions could destroy his career, Nathan said.
With that said, we still need to be sure of that. He's connected to everyone that could be involved in this due to his position.
Narime and Seraph stared at him.
What? He said defensively.
You realize this is why both Alice and Anna want to marry you, right?
Narime said flatly.
You keep denying your calling, but you're very good at this. You're not a naive little bastion anymore.
Anymore? Nerevia said.
He's been a bastion for less than 2 years.
So what do we do? Kiana asked, her horse ears pricked up. All eyes turned to Nathan. He shrugged.
We wait.
Night fell. Nathan successfully badgered the servants to scavenge up as much alcohol as they could. It was cheap stuff. The Dark Elves called it vodka, and nobody else drank the awful stuff. Nathan remembered awful nights full of terrible dreams, after Gareth, or Vala, forced him to stay up late drinking the garbage with them. This stuff was especially bad. Nathan felt he could strip the paint off walls with it. Despite his concerns with using magic, he meddled with a few of the bottles, using what little life magic he knew. He still couldn't make something good, but he somehow managed to make the vodka less awful. Presumably, his life magic had made it blander, and bland vodka was better than garbage vodka. Speaking of life magic, Nathan noticed that the black door was missing in the spires. He had taken it for granted that Kadria was following him everywhere lately. She had followed him to Alayik and to Tardis. For whatever reason, she avoided the spires. Although he did suspect he could forcibly open a door to her if he tried. The connection to her and the world of the twins was mental. There must be a way to create it on his end, right? With night came a missed appointment. Nathan drank lightly, especially given the strength of this awful shit. Kiana and Faye had passed out already, underestimating the alcohol. Naughty Mae curled up next to Nathan's feet like a cat, half awake in her drunken stupor, and he stroked her ears while she purred. On the far side of the common room, Nerevia and Seraph debated over some nonsense regarding clothing. Nathan tuned them out pretty early, although he heard some odd statements about whether underwear was necessary on a battlefield. Footsteps approached down the hall, and Nathan looked over. A grumpy Astra glared at him, her cape missing. She pointed a finger at him.
"You forgot," she accused him.
"Did you miss the guards outside the elevator?" he asked.
Astra tilted her head. After a moment, her anger evaporated, and she took a seat on a nearby sofa. She poured a generous helping of vodka, added some ice, and drank a slurp straight. He forgot she did that. Most people squeezed in a fruit to flavor the vodka, given how awful it tended to be.
"What?"
she asked, tilting her head. She looked between their glasses, which were both straight vodka with ice.
"Same as yours."
"I mean, it is, but nobody else is drinking it straight. Even Nerevia flavored it," he said.
"Weak."
He shook his head, but smiled anyway. Naughty Mae purred from the movement of his legs, and he tickled her ears.
"Guards," Astra said, changing the subject. "There were too many. For you?"
"Yes. They wouldn't let me leave this floor. I think it's a trap. If I force my way through, they'll use it against the Empire," Nathan explained.
"Ignore them," she said.
"Then they'll stab me."
Astra tilted her head.
"Defend yourself."
He stared at her. She had the decency to blush in embarrassment.
"Ah,"
the Trigem champion uttered. She downed her vodka and poured more. Her alcohol capacity was ridiculous, Nathan knew from experience. He suspected it had something to do with her eternal life, but she could chug a bottle of spirits and not even seem tipsy. She might have done that in front of Nathan once. Not that he would ever admit that to anyone. The Astra who had forced him to keep that secret might be dead, but he somehow suspected this one would happily enforce his promise.
"Why?"
she asked. "Nerevia is helping Tarbin to damage the alliance with the Empire," Nathan said. "He wants the spires to pull out of the Haukim Desert." The dark elf in question froze as she overheard what Nathan said. Slowly, Astra lowered her glass to the table. She stood up. Nerevia leaped to her feet and tried to run. She didn't make it far before Astra caught her. The scream echoed through the entire floor. Astra returned with bloody hands. "You didn't kill her, right?" Nathan asked. He hadn't felt Nerevia's gems activate.
"No, but she needed a lesson. I'll extract my full price later."
Astra's smile was cruel, and a reminder of her desire to beat things to a pulp.
Nathan coughed.
"She's not the problem right now. The council is."
"No, it's not," Astra said. "My bastion is."
Chapter 21. Nathan froze. His mind raced as he processed what he had heard. Astra's bastion was his problem? Her green eyes bore into him, their edges curving slightly as she smiled. Nobody else reacted to her words. Naughty Mae dozed in her drunken haze while Seraph checked on the sleeping beastkin. If Astra's words had reached either of them, they didn't show it. Nathan knew Astra. Not extremely well, but he thought he could trust her. Was that a mistake? If her bastion was working against the spires, she shouldn't be loyal to him. But then again, Nathan didn't know that for sure. By the time he had gotten to know Astra in his world, the current Dark Elf bastions had been replaced several times. Too many cascades had rippled through the spires during the invasions of the Empire and the Federation. For all Nathan knew, Astra trusted her current bastion more than him. Which meant Nathan needed an escape plan. Right now, Astra didn't seem hostile, but if that changed... The moment he thought that, Astra's eyes lit up.
Yes, like that. That's a good face. Your eyes are strong. Nobody looks at me like you.
Before he could say anything, one of her opals lit up. Nathan reacted instantly. He hurled his glass at her while flipping backward over his chair. Astra's hand obliterated the glass, splashing vodka all over her arm. The glass fragments seemed to skate over her skin. She blurred forward despite that, one opal still glowing. Nathan reached for his magic. He dropped into his mental world to give himself time to think. Even with the time dilation, Astra still moved. Not fast, but Nathan saw her body shift in an otherwise frozen world. Her powers were terrifying. Fucking hell, he swore mentally. This wasn't what he needed, or what he could handle. Within his mental world, his gaze lingered on the fat, creepy tendril that belonged to the twins. Was now the time to reach for their help? Supposedly, they were mentally connected to him. He suspected he could reach for Mora's help and... do what? The twins were being nice to him because they couldn't attack him. What use would they be against a Tri-Gem champion? Unlike everybody else in the world, Astra was experienced at battling messengers. Nathan needed to handle her alone. Not that he knew why she was attacking him. She had switched from friendly to hostile in an instant. Then again, he was dealing with Astra. She loved battle. Maybe this was a test. Or maybe she wanted to rip his head off in order to help her bastion. Nathan couldn't assume anything. Astra slowly grew closer, her eyes practically glowing with glee. Her opals held immense power. The one she had activated granted her increased speed and strength, on top of her strength enhancement. Astra bench-pressed entire castles and punched holes through magical barriers. Dodging her was the highest priority. The real problem was Astra's Tri-Gem ability. Fighting back against her was meaningless. Nathan might have bothered if he were close to a binding stone, but not here. Nathan only had one viable weapon against her, ascended magic. He cast it faster than the natural elements, and it might work against Astra. Mental magic was out. He liked Astra and didn't know if this was a genuine fight. That left one option. Time resumed. Nathan quickly summoned his power and cast a spell. A golden triangle appeared over his back. Astra touched the chair and sent it hurtling across the room, where it exploded into a million tiny fragments upon impact with the stone wall. A moment later, her fist soared toward Nathan's head. He saw death. His spell finished an instant before he felt death. The room shifted forward for a moment. To Nathan, it looked like one of those optical illusions, where what you're seeing is stretching away from you, but it's really right in front of you. He imagined Astra saw it differently. To her, Nathan had teleported backward, and the room in front of her had extended with him. Nathan had used spatial magic to extend the space he stood on back a few dozen feet. Then the spell finished, and Nathan appeared on the opposite side of the room. The strange visual effect vanished. Astra stared at him, fist hovering in midair. Her opal stopped glowing. Her green eyes wavered in shock. He instantly started casting a supercharged fourth-rank spell, and two golden squares appeared over his hands. This was a spatial ward, as he knew what Astra's follow-up would be. As powerful as she was at least predictable.
Nathan! Seraph shouted.
Seraph, don't! He snapped in response. The duo gem champion charged Astra, despite his warning. Her arms snapped out and sent a wave of energy toward the dark elf. All of them had been disarmed here, so they lacked weapons. The energy wave passed through Astra without even ruffling her clothes. All three of her opals lit up for an instant as the wave struck her. Astra let out a huff.
"Don't care about you."
She backhanded the air between her and Seraph. Two of her opals lit up. Seraph didn't have a moment to react. Something slammed into her chest, and she flew across the room. The impact was weaker than the blow against the chair, so she at least didn't explode upon impact with a wall. Instead, she tumbled across the floor, gripping her chest. Her jade gems lit up as her regeneration magic kicked in. On the ground, Narime stirred from her stupor. Her ears flicked as she tried to take in what was happening. "Sleep," Astra said. She then gripped the air with one hand. Narime yelped as the front of her robes bunched up. When Astra raised her arm, Narime hovered, her tails flailing around in the air. The fox then flew onto one of the distant sofas with a crash and a scream. This was Astra's duo-gem ability. She could project her body using magic. Her insane strength was maintained. With a weapon, she could cut down an entire row of demons with a single slash, or pierce someone's heart from 100 feet away. Ordinarily, she used her bare hands with similarly devastating effects. Nathan finished his ward. Unfortunately, he didn't know what to do next. In the nearby corridor, he heard Nerevia stir. Neither Faye nor Kiana had awakened, which Nathan felt thankful for. Astra did know what to do next, however. She smirked at him.
"Is that it?" she asked. "Where is your power?"
Her hand reached for him. Two of her opals glowed. She clenched her fist. The space in front of Nathan compressed. Magic crackled in the air around him as his ward strained against Astra's raw power and strength. She physically crushed the ward, as if it were a pane of glass. His view of the world through it distorted. This was new. Nathan didn't know she could do this. He knew her ability involved spatial distortion of some form, but he hadn't known how. Astra tilted her head in amazement. She raised her other hand and made a tearing motion. Space warped again, but the ward held. Nathan felt immense magic build up in the world around him. If she kept this up, she'd break through eventually. But he felt good that he had cast a ward that kept Astra out. A smile crossed his face. She saw it and narrowed her eyes.
"Are you even human?" she growled out.
Damn, that was not the response he wanted from her. He needed a plan to deal with her. No, he needed a plan to escape. Narime got up from where she had been thrown aside. She appeared mostly unharmed, if still drunk. It would be difficult, but Nathan knew that the fox was his best bet to escape. She knew teleportation magic. Fighting Astra was pointless, especially with most of his champions incapacitated. If he had gone to meet her, would she have killed him once he was alone with her and suitably drunk? Then again, she hadn't waited for him to be drunk now.
"What the fuck is this?"
Nerevia yelled as she stumbled back into the common room. Blood streamed from her mouth and squashed nose.
"Fuck off," Astra said, her eyes flicking to Nerevia for a second. "No, I don't think so. He's mine," Nerevia said,
her purple eyes narrowing. Then her hand slipped into her vest and withdrew a thin steel throwing knife.
"You shouldn't have that," Nathan said.
He began to cast a spell in order to cross the room to reach Narime.
"I shouldn't be here at all, or be getting beaten up by this dumb bitch," Nerevia said.
Her amethysts glowed. A moment later, the throwing knife glowed in sympathy, shimmering with an eerie purple light. Then it blurred across the room at Astra, who was still preoccupied with Nathan's ward. The dagger slammed into Astra's face, point first.
Then it exploded into 1,000 pieces without even scratching her. The purple light vanished. All 3 of Astra's opals glowed briefly.
Really? Nerevia growled. Even after all these years?
So young, Astra said. She continued to strain with effort. Her eyes glared at Nathan, and a pout crossed her face. Fight me!
Yes, I'll fight the Trigem champion who is functionally immortal, Nathan drawled.
He shook his head and laughed. Do you think I'm stupid?
Astra stopped trying to rip the world open and lowered her arms. Her pout vanished. In its place, the smile from earlier returned.
You know how my gems work? She asked, almost purring.
What? Nerevia whispered.
Your trigem ability prevents the state of your body from changing. You can't age. Weapons can't cut you. Magic flows around your body harmlessly, he explained. It's easily the most powerful trigem ability I've ever heard of.
Astra tilted her head to one side, while the other dark elf stared at him with an open mouth. Nerevia looked between both of them in shock.
Is that true? She asked Astra.
Yes, the immortal said. Omria gifted it to me.
Nathan blinked. He hadn't known that part.
Really? He asked, scratching his head. I thought Omria ignored the dark elves.
She did, Astra smiled. But why assume I lied?
Her smile turned devilish, but her opals didn't glow. She walked back to the sofa she had been sitting on, poured more vodka, and sat back down. Nathan stared at her.
Was that it?
No, but you won't fight, so we talk.
She shrugged.
Sit, drink. Answer me, I answer you.
That was almost a real sentence, he remarked. She glared at him.
Despite her anger, he didn't join her for a drink.
I know you want to talk, but I'm focused on business, he said. You said your bastion was the threat. Which one do you serve?
Does it matter? Seraph asked as she joined him.
Her regeneration ability had healed her injury already.
We can't trust someone who attacks us for no reason.
Nathan stared at Seraph with a raised eyebrow.
You threatened me before forgiving me, she whined. Where is the whole betray me and I will rip off your head speech? Can I hear that?
Astra asked, eyes bright.
Yeah, that sounds hot, Nerevia said.
Oh, my goddess, Narime groaned as she joined them and sat in one of the surviving chairs.
What is wrong with all of you?
It's not my fault you're not into the fun stuff.
Nerevia made a whipping motion.
Too tame, Astra said.
Nerevia raised her hands and stepped away from Astra.
I kind of want to agree, but your definition of tame is my idea of exciting. You're probably the only woman who would ask for Nathan to be bigger.
Astra's eyes latched onto his crotch. Realizing that everybody had lost sight of their objective, despite his intention to focus on business, Nathan seized control of the conversation.
There are 3 bastions and aspires, he explained. 2 of them share control of the binding stone in the nearby mountains. One of them protects the portal full-time, and the other the city. The 3rd bastion protects the portal and binding stone in the valley itself, outside the city. Which bastion is rebelling?
Astra shrugged.
The one protecting the council. He controls the guards. Only he can do this.
Something felt wrong. Do you even care about him?
No. I've killed many traitorous bastions. I will forget his face quickly.
Cold. Then why attack me? Nathan asked.
Astra smirked. Are you a messenger?
A chill ran down his spine. Her eyes pierced him, and he somehow knew that she was on to his secrets.
But how?
No.
You use their magic?
Nathan kept his cool, but her words alarmed him. Seraph intervened this time, moments before Narime could.
Ascended magic is used by more than just messengers. Narime can use it.
Estra dismissed that argument with a glance and a roll of her eyes.
That's not an argument, Narime growled.
I've met Omria, the dark elf said. Slain messengers. Met every race on Domar. I know magic.
She pointed at Nathan.
Your magic feels like a messenger. Like Omria.
Like Omria? He blurted out. Isn't that heresy?
I am no believer,
Astra shrugged.
Her magic is like a hurricane. A messenger is a storm. You are a rain cloud, but you are the same.
Nathan didn't know how to process this. The news that Omria had some connection to messengers was overwhelming to him. What little faith he had left was crumbling, especially given what he was learning about how messengers worked and who was behind them. Who even was the Watcher Omria?
Whatever the case, I'm not a messenger, he ground out, ignoring the whirlpool of emotions within him. I'm fighting to stop Domar from being destroyed by them and whoever is sending them here. Trust me.
Astra's eyes widened, while everybody else nodded in response to Nathan's words.
I see, the Trigem champion said. Let us talk more.
No, he said. We can talk later. There's potentially a coup taking place. I need to make preparations. Will you help us?
Astra pouted. Do you promise me?
Promise what? She gulped, then looked as if she was concentrating really hard. Nathan knew what came next. Astra only looked like this when she was about to say a really long sentence. For whatever reason, she hated speaking properly.
Promise me that you will tell me why you look at me like that, she said,
staring at him with a gaze filled with longing. Another chill ran down his spine. He didn't need to ask what she meant. Nathan knew damn well what she was referring to. After all, he had felt her die in his original world. He knew her, at least a little.
Fine, he said.
Astra nodded, then downed her vodka. She stood up.
We're not going now, he said, then gestured to the sleeping beastkin.
They still hadn't woken up.
But we need to make preparations. I need to talk to Sarive.
I will find him, Astra said. And then what? Seraph asked. Nothing's changed from earlier.
That's where you're wrong. We have Astra now. If she joins in, we'll have the backing of the legendary Trigem champion of the Spires.
He grinned. That means we can safely crack some heads. Chapter 22. After Astra left, it fell to Nathan to encourage his sullen champions. Being effortlessly tossed aside by Astra crushed their spirits. The two who had slept through the fight were especially distraught. Even Nerevia felt frustrated. She wasn't one of Nathan's champions, but he felt close enough to her from his world to care about her.
Immortality, Nerevia said, running a hand through her long lavender hair. No wonder she talks so much crap about how young we all are.
Her eyes snapped to Nathan.
You seem to know everything. How old is she?
Not as old as you're probably thinking, he said with a smile.
She doesn't know about a lot of what is written in the records. She's vague about dates, but I'm certain she can't be older than 600 or 700 years old.
That makes her the oldest person on Domar, Nathan, Seraph observed with a raised eyebrow.
Yeah, that's, older than I thought,
Nerevia scowled.
And how the fuck can you say what she does and doesn't know?
Everybody smirked at Nathan, except Nerevia, whose scowl intensified as she realized she wasn't in on the joke.
Whatever, the dark elf said.
The difference is one of magnitude, Nathan said. The Anfeng Empire is thousands of years old. By contrast, Umria vanished only 400 or so years ago, causing Falmir and Trefome to split off. And before that, something happened between her and the First Peoples to create this place. He gestured at the surrounding spire.
Don't call them that. You make those pompous pricks sound like they're worthy of respect,
Nerevia whined. Should I call them winged elves instead? Isn't that what you call them in your language? Nathan asked. She blinked at him. Then she stared at the other champions while pointing a finger at him.
Do you ever get used to this? Just asking.
Not really. You slowly get accustomed to it. Then he brings up something really crazy, and you're back to square one,
Narime said.
It's great, Faye chirped, bouncing on the balls of her feet.
Nathan wasn't sure the alcohol had worn off on her yet. Midnight approached while Astra was missing. The servants prepared some hangover cures for Kiana and Faye. Seraph practically poured one down the cat girl's throat as Faye hissed and fought like a cornered wildcat. No champions or guards showed up to investigate the fight. Nathan knew others must have sensed the fight. Too much magic had been used. Astra's involvement likely scared them off, or something else was in the works. Kiana rested next to him, her legs shuffling nervously. The others patrolled the floor, while Nathan used spatial magic to investigate his surroundings. Now that he had been detected, he didn't bother trying to hide. Ensuring that he knew what was going on was the top priority. The powerful wards of the spires interfered with his magic. Nathan knew very little about the spires, given their age. He was surprised at how their intrinsic wards interfered with his spatial detection spell. The effects were subtle, but he had enough experience to recognize them. The wards gave him false readings, which changed when he poked at them. Determining reality became difficult. Would Narime realize this with her spells? Had she ever known this in his world, when she had used her spells to investigate the spires? Questions for later.
I'm sorry, Kiana mumbled.
Nathan looked up, his concentration broken. For what? He asked.
I couldn't help again.
She stared at the floor, eyes wide and shimmering with tears. Kiana, I already told you.
That doesn't matter. I was sleeping this time. I should have...
A hiccup interrupted her. He ran a hand over her cheek. As if he had broken through an intangible barrier, Kiana turned and threw her arms around him. He winced at the crushing grip compressing his ribcage. Luckily, Kiana's enhancements weren't for strength. She was strong, but Nathan slept with a rowdy Fae on a regular basis. This was nothing. His hands ran through her hair and tail. He murmured soothing words to her while she sobbed into his chest. Nothing sensible left her mouth. Slowly, she recovered. Despite that, she remained in his arms.
I'm sorry, she repeated.
He knew what this apology was for. Don't. I'm your bastion. It's my duty to support you.
She giggled. Isn't it the other way around? I'm supposed to protect you. Shouldn't I be your shield to protect you from the world? To fight off attackers like Astra and conspiracies like this?
Her head buried itself in his chest again.
I took too long to see Leopold's pain. He kept so much from me. Protected me while he raised me like a daughter,
Kiana said, her voice muffled as it rumbled against his body.
When I saw what happened to him after the cascade, all I could think of was whether this would happen to you.
Nathan listened quietly. He rubbed circles over her back. She continued,
I'm weak. Leopold trained me, but he wanted me to replace him, to become the first Beastkin Bastion in the Empire. But I threw it away because I was so scared. You and Leopold fought the Messenger together, and he nearly died. Then you invaded the Federation alone.
Could I really protect you if I became a bastion? Would I ever be happy like that? Finally, Kiana looked up at Nathan, her horse ears flat against her head. I'm sorry I didn't tell you this before I became your champion. I told Leopold, and he understood, but... She trailed off. Nathan chuckled and rubbed her cheek with one hand. She squawked with indignation when he pressed his thumb into it. But you were worried I'd try to convince you otherwise? I don't know why you care so much about me, Kiana, but I'm honored you do, he said. Nothing has changed. She blushed.
It's difficult to say why. Leopold thinks it's because I'm a unicorn beastkin. But what I remember in those weeks we were together was how open you were. You treated me like an equal, even though I'm not. That's why the letters hurt. You cut me out from the war. I thought you hated me, but everything else was the same. Any question I asked, you would have answers for that others patronized me about.
Letting out a deep breath, Nathan gently held Kiana at arm's length. I guess I should apologize then. The letters hurt you more than I expected. I left out the war because I didn't want to talk to you about something you had no control over, and... He paused, and a lump formed in his throat. A sad smile crossed her face.
It's because I died, isn't it? In your timeline?
He closed his eyes. Yes. It's not something I can forget.
But I'm here, Nathan. I'm not dead, and I'm going to be your shield.
Her arms dug into his back, and she grinned up at him. Don't forget that when you give me my diamond gem.
Astra's back, Faye called out, interrupting them. She stared at the two of them together, her cheeks puffing up in jealousy.
Nathan stood up before the catgirl did anything foolish, motioning for her to calm down. As he walked away, he knew he heard Kiana say something more.
You won't need to do those sorts of things anymore, Kiana mumbled to herself, eyes hard.
He glanced back at her, but she merely smiled back. The arrival of Astra shifted his attention to the situation at hand. Sarive was with her, dressed as impeccably as ever. Bags drooped under his eyes, but he appeared to be alert.
I think some of that vodka would be good, the ambassador said, making a beeline for the abandoned bottles and glasses.
After the earlier incident, they had been set aside. Nathan and Astra joined him around the coffee table. The common room was enormous, so there were plenty of tables and sofas to use. Sarive raised an eyebrow at the wreckage from earlier, but said nothing. Instead, he served up three glasses. Nathan stopped him from pouring any more.
Did you spend an hour dressing, or is something going on? Nathan asked.
He drank very slowly.
Both, Sarive chuckled. It has been a very long couple of days. I'm not used to being in the council chambers for so long.
Nathan straightened up. Are you going to elaborate, or... After a long sip of his vodka, Sarive did so.
Both portals are currently under attack. A terribly unstable situation. The Bastions are requesting that we withdraw all our forces to the Spires in order to reinforce our homeland. Until the invasions end, they have also placed the Council, and therefore the entire Jorman Spire, under a protective lockdown.
Astra shrugged when Nathan gave her a questioning gaze.
Don't know.
This has been the case for days, he confirmed. Sarive nodded.
Must be one hell of an invasion.
Nathan shook his head.
You don't need a lifetime of political experience to understand they are lying. Fortunately, I have that, and I can tell you this is more than a lie.
Sarive drained his glass and poured another.
The Bastions are pressing the Council to make an immediate decision. This will irreparably harm relations with the Empire, to say nothing of the dangers of the Hawkim Desert. So I've been arguing your case for hours on end sometimes.
Why the rush?
Doesn't the council usually take weeks or months to make decisions? Nathan asked.
Usually. This matter was shelved before you arrived, in order for Tanius's trial to take place. But you've scared them. Perhaps somebody knows something.
Cerev glared at Nerevia. She raised her hand.
I don't know anything about this crap.
To Nathan, it didn't matter. This confirmed his worst fear. A military coup in the spires. Something occurred to him.
They're all backing one another? The bastions, I mean?
Nathan asked.
Yes, that is the concerning part. They've been under suspicion since the Cascade, as only they and the council members have the ability to close the portals,
Cerev explained. Nathan nodded. He knew about the failsafes in the spires. The ancient technology of this place was linked to the nearby portals, among other things. Ordinary people could control the demonic portals. For now, it was the only place in the world where this could be done. The secrets of the Dark Elves helped Falmir immensely in their magical science developments. Nathan planned to recreate many of those with the help of the Empire's mages.
The Council? Astra asked, leaning forward. Their thoughts?
Cerev scowled.
They're playing their cards close to their chest. It's smart. If one of them is working with the Bastions, or a traitor, then they can eliminate the other counselors and declare them as the cause of the Cascade.
Devious.
Somebody has to know something, Nathan said. The best source was about to go on trial, Cerev pointed out.
True, and that trial hasn't started yet. Talking to him is a good idea.
I'll try to get you access once we resolve this situation.
The ambassador finished his second glass, but didn't pour a third. Nathan nodded. He wasn't sure if Tanius would be of help after this matter was dealt with, but answers were always nice.
The council needs to delay long enough for either the general public or our legend to intervene.
The ambassador inclined his head at Astra.
I suspect this is why the bastions have moved so fast. They are worried that you might stop them.
He stared at Nathan. Kiana suddenly piped up.
But can't they control Astra? I know bastions have ways to keep champions in line.
Not here, Astra growled.
Cerev frowned. Then his expression turned thunderous.
You're speaking of heresy.
To your race, yes. The rest of the world weaponizes their champions more. Nathan shifted uncomfortably. More thoroughly. If a champion rebels, a bastion can overload her gems and shut them down. Or they can pump binding stone power through their mental link and kill them. Everybody stared at him, including Seraf for once.
You know how to do that? Seraf asked him.
For once, he had a good excuse.
It's part of the Academy's training.
His tone was flat.
I don't expect to need it.
She let out a breath, and he didn't miss the way her expression lightened.
So we don't need to worry about Astra, Kiana said.
No.
Astra's gaze was hard. The atmosphere slowly settled. The clock ticked past midnight. Are they still up there? Nathan asked.
They should be, Cerev said.
You said we'd crack heads, Seraf said. Is that your plan?
Nathan opened his mouth to reply, but Astra stood up instead.
It's mine, she declared. He's up there.
With those words, she strode off. Everybody stared after her. Cerev and Nathan looked at each other. Cursing, Nathan finally realized what Astra likely planned to do.
Narime, stay down here and protect Cerev and Kiana.
What? Why? She asked,
tails rising.
Because you can teleport,
he shouted as he ran after Astra with his champions. He caught Astra at the elevator. She held the door open and they rushed in. Once inside, she slotted in a key, turned it, then shoved the lever all the way to the top. The cage door ratcheted shut.
Then the elevator began to rise. Nobody said a word. "This is political," Nathan said, looking down at Astra.
"Traitor," she replied.
Everybody else stiffened. He rolled his eyes. "Use more words," he reminded Astra.
"He's a traitor," Astra corrected.
The others relaxed.
"Are you really going to kill him?" Nerevia asked. "I mean, it'll be hilarious, but it seems like a really dumb idea."
"I am Astra. I protect the spires."
The Trigem champion's eyes reflected nothing of the outside world. Nathan felt a shudder down his spine. Astra looked up at him and grimaced.
"Even now," she said, "you see death."
"What?"
"My death. You see it," she said, "in your eyes."
Is that why she kept talking about his eyes? He didn't quite follow. "We'll talk after this," he said.
"Good."
The others stared at him. Nerevia appeared to want to strangle him. She knew nothing about his secrets, and it infuriated her. When they arrived at the top, a mass of guards greeted them. A pair of monogem champions stood guard. They raised their weapons, and their amethysts glowed. Then Astra stepped out, and they froze.
"Leave," she snapped.
Nobody moved. Astra's opals glowed. She raised her hands. Weapons clattered on the ground. Guards sprinted in every direction. The champions held their ground. Or at least, they did for a few seconds. One fainted, collapsing to the ground. The other refused to move. Faye pushed her over when they passed, giggling as she did so.
"Don't be mean," Seraph said. "That could be us."
Faye tilted her head.
"Is she that strong?"
"If she wanted to, she could have splattered me against the wall."
Seraph made an exploding motion with her hands. Faye's eyes widened in terror. She clung onto Nathan's jacket as they strode up the final steps to the council chambers. Guards fled as they approached. Champions and hunters retreated, gesturing to each other. Nathan wondered how many dark elves he would have had to kill if he didn't have Astra with him. Too many. Also, he knew there was no invasion taking place. Half the champions and the spires were here. Someone expected an invasion, but it wasn't of demons. Given they weren't fighting Astra, who did they expect to attack?
"You, probably," Seraph said. "You might have missed it, but you kind of terrify people."
"Really?" he asked.
"Yes, at least the intelligent ones. A few old friends have asked me about you."
That wasn't the reputation that Nathan had wanted to build, or the one he thought he had built. Maybe he needed to spend less time in his castles, surrounded by fawning beastkin. For that matter, he wondered what they really thought of him. He only saw those that liked him. How many feared him, or hated him? They reached the ramps that led to the chambers. The floor turned to a dark slate. Memories assaulted Nathan of past visits. This time, he wasn't visiting the council to beg for their assistance or ask them to abandon their home. He stepped forward, Astra next to him. Voices echoed off the sandstone walls. Marble balconies sat high on the tall walls. A deep chill set into his bones as the cool outside air met his skin. The council chamber faced an open void on one end. Anybody who fell from it plummeted to certain death. Maybe Astra could survive it, but nobody else could. Over 2 dozen champions stood around the edges of the chamber. On the balconies sat the 5 elected councillors of Aurelia. Each sat on an ostentatious throne and wore enough piercings and jewelry to fill an entire store. Armored guards stood next to them instead of champions. Nathan suspected those guards were trained spellblades or mages. In the center stood a spindly man with wiry hair. He ignored Nathan and continued to argue with the council in the dark elf tongue. Nathan didn't understand his words well enough to follow his rapid-fire talking. As it turned out, it didn't matter. Astra walked forward. A pair of hunters tried to block her path. Astra's opals flared, but the hunters didn't move, so she sent them sprawling across the chamber. Silence fell. All eyes fell on Astra.
"Traitor,"
Astra said, pointing at the man in the chamber. Then she popped her bastion's head like a ripe melon. Chapter 23. The Dark Elf Bastion's body collapsed, the remains of his head splashing all over the stone floor. Everyone in the chamber stood frozen. A subtle web of magic expanded from his corpse. Dozens of threads of magic snapped into existence, connecting the body to the champions that once belonged to it. One of those extended to Astra. Nathan felt the ghost connection form between Bastion and Champion for one last time. He saw the shocked expressions cross the faces of many women in the room. Then those threads shattered. For an instant, a hole formed in Nathan's magical senses, as if magic had been sucked out of the world. Then he felt nothing. The champions reached for their gems in a panic. They flailed about with their arms, some shouting nonsense. A couple cast ordinary spells, but seemed disappointed at the results. None of their gems lit up. With the death of their bastion, their powers as champions were lost. They could be reactivated, but it was a far more difficult process than simply transferring a champion to a new bastion. Right now, they were the closest to human that a champion ever became. Astra stood perfectly still, her hands still outstretched from where she had pressed them together in the air. Her opals had dulled. Up on the balconies, the council members formed grim expressions. Some pressed their hands into their faces. Their guards closed ranks around them, wary. A moment later, Nathan realized why.
"Now!"
one of the Dark Elf champions shouted. Her single amethyst lit up. Nathan cursed. Not every champion relied on this bastion. 8 Dark Elf champions charged them, although only 2 were duo gems. All of them had typical gems, amethysts, garnets, sapphires, and the like. "Protect Astra," he snapped, glowing triangles snapping into existence over his arms. His champions still lacked weapons, but they didn't need them. He trusted in the abilities of his girls over the raw quantity that the spires churned out. Faye's body wreathed itself in flame as she darted forward. A reedy monogem dark elf screamed in fear as the flaming catgirl tackled her. Nathan wouldn't need to worry about that fight. In front of him, Seraph nearly blinked forward as she blasted out energy waves with her hands. The clothes and weapons of the closest monogem nearly disintegrated, and she stumbled in fear. Behind her, a duogem went for the throat. Seraph received the blade through her arm before kicking the champion away.
"Norevia, catch!"
Seraph said, as she plucked the short sword from her arm and tossed it to Norevia.
"Ta,"
Norevia said with a grin. She twirled, caught the sword, and her amethysts glowed. The monogem charging Norevia hesitated, and it saved her life. Norevia's sword only vaporized the monogem's hand when it slammed into the hilt of her scimitar. Before the monogem could even let out a scream, Norevia kicked her into a disempowered champion. Another champion stepped up, her single diamond gleaming as she took on a far more powerful enemy. Nathan stepped in front of Astra as a monogem sapphire darted in. Her gem glowed bright as she jabbed with her sword. Nathan rolled his eyes and blasted her in the knees with blades of wind. The blast bowled her over. She screamed as she tumbled end over end, blood streaming from her legs, right down the ramp out of the chamber. That left 2 champions they hadn't covered. Nathan prepared a spatial spell to handle one, but he needed help with the other. Too late, he realized. Astra hadn't moved an inch, other than lowering her arms. She stared at the duo gem sapphire charging at her. Magic roared through Nathan's body. He prepared to step in and try to save her. Then he stopped. Astra's opals were glowing. The saber of the attacking champion turned into a blur as both sapphires glowed. Some sort of rapid attacking ability, Nathan guessed. Several blows streaked into Astra's body at once, faster than Nathan's eyes followed. When the ability stopped, the saber disintegrated into dust. The champion stared at the hilt of her broken weapon. Astra broke her jaw a second later. The blow appeared weaker than normal, given the duogem attacker remained standing. Normally, that would have knocked her head clean off. Astra's opals didn't glow during the attack. The other champion froze at the sight and pointed at Astra in fear.
How? He's dead! You should be powerless, monster!
Astra turned to face her accuser, fire in her eyes. She grinned and cracked her neck. When she took a step forward, the attacking champion took a step backward, as did almost every dark elf in the room who wasn't in the middle of combat. Nathan stared at Astra. He genuinely didn't know how her immortality worked, he realized. It was definitely a gem ability. That was why her opals had lit.